Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Kuf Dalid. We're at the Mishnah, five lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, Hanesunim Batzoru Vashivu. So yesterday, Be'ezus Hashem, we began a new perek, the ninth perek of Meseches Bava Metzia, Perek HaMekabel. And as mentioned, the introduction to the perek is, we are not farmers. In other words, it's a rather technical perek that deals in an agricultural society, which gets involved in some of the nuances of farming. Now, the perek is called Perek HaMekabel. Rashi says a mekabel is somebody that operates somebody else's field. So Reuven has a field. Shimon is a farmer. He's a professional operator of fields. They get together and they create some joint venture, some business relationship. Reuven's going to provide the field, Shimon's going to operate the field, and they're both going to make money. Rashi says there were two general structures that were popular back in the day. One was known as an arisus, the other one was known as chakiros. Arisus is where the agreement between the one providing the field and the one operating the field is a profit-sharing agreement. So that depending on what the profits are, they agree on a split, and that's how all the profits are going to be divvied up. Tosfos, very interestingly, on the top of Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, said that there seems to be a stira in Shas, who was the Yada Al Yoina, meaning who got the better end of the split. From our sugya, Tosfos says, it sounds like it was the operator. Bechol Duchti, Tosfos says, it sounds like it was the one that was providing the field. And Tosfos says, I think you have to say, Loikasha, it depends on who was providing the seeds for the farmer to go plant and do his thing. If it was the operator that was providing the seeds, so he got more on the back end. He ends up getting a more beneficial split. If it was the owner of the field that provided the seeds, say he was the one that ended up getting a better deal. A chakiris agreement is where somebody agrees to work a field and he is going to give the owner of the field a fixed amount of tefuah. Typically, it was tefuah that grew from the field, but the point is it's a fixed amount so that the landowner is locked into a certain amount of revenue that he is going to realize from this property that he owns. That's going to be a locked-in expense for the operator, but anything that he earns beyond that is going to be his profit. That is going to belong to him. Now, the halacha of the first Mishnah was, in short, hakol kiminag hamedina, that when it comes to these arrangements, whether it's arisus, whether it's chakirus, you look at what the local custom is in terms of the nuances of these agreements, and you're supposed to follow the local custom. Now, the Mishnah mentioned a few specific minhagim. If the minhag was liktzar, yiktzar, lakor, yakor, lachresh, acharov, yachresh, acharov, gishem shecholkem betvuah, kach kolkem betabedu bakash, etc., etc. And the Gemara worked through why these few halachas were necessary for the Mishnah to speak out in light of the fact that the general principle is pretty straightforward, and that is hakol kiminag hamedina. Either way, we're now going to learn the second Mishnah in this topic, very much continuing on this theme. Says the Mishnah, mekabel sol mechaveroi, if somebody is mekabel a field from his friend, and again, it doesn't matter whether he was mekabelit as an oris or whether he was mekabelit as a choyker. He beis hashlochin, and this field that he was mekabel was a beis hashlochin. So what's a beis hashlochin? This is of moikotin dav beis vein. A beis hashlochin is a field that requires an irrigation for it to survive. So there were certain fields that the rain was enough to stimulate whatever needed to grow. And then there were fields where the rain in and of itself wasn't going to be enough, and it required human intervention in order for it to grow properly. When it requires human intervention, it's known as a beis hashlochin. When it can survive and thrive just on the rain alone, it's known as a beis habal. There are nafkaminas in different sugyas and shas, most notably right in the beginning of Masechtas Ma'akatim with regards to working such a field on Chol HaMoed, whether it's a davar or ovid. But in our Mishnah, if someone was mekabel a field and the field was a beis hashlochem, in other words, there was some irrigation canal that this field relied on in order for it to be able to do what it needs to do. Oy beis ilon, or if somebody is mekabel a field, and this field had a tree in it, the tree was oisaperis, and the arrangement, says Rashi, was that the mekabel is supposed to get part of the fruit. We saw in yesterday's daf that a field that an aris or a chayker works that has a tree in it that bears fruits, there were different menhagim, and it's part of what the Mishnah means when it says Akol Kiminig Amedina, meaning if the minig was that he would get the fruit, he got the fruit. If the minig was not to take the fruit, you didn't get the fruit. Our Mishnah is talking about where someone's mekabel a beso ilon, where the minig is that, yeah, you're going to take from the fruit. Either way, says the Mishnah, Yovesh HaMayim, what would be if the mayim, the source of water, the source of this irrigation dried up, or v'nixa sa'ilon, or the tree was chopped down. In a manakula mechikurai, the halacha is that if you're a chayker, you can't deduct it from your chakiras, meaning you agreed to pay a certain amount of rent, you're going to have to continue to pay that amount of rent. Im amaloi, what would be, however, if at the onset of the agreement, the chayker told the machker, the farmer told the landowner, chakor li stay beis hashlochem. I want you to give me a field. I'm willing to be your chayker, and I want the field to be a beis hashlochem. Not just that, he said, zu, this beis hashlochem. Or you stay beis ilon zeh. Or I want to work this beis ha'ilon. Then the halach is yavash ha'mayim v'niktas ha'ilon. In the event that the mayim dries up, or if the tree gets cut down, then already you're going to be able to deduct it from your rent. So what's the topic of this Mishnah? The topic of this Mishnah is where someone's mekabel, either a beis ha'shlochin or a beis ha'ilon, hatzada shavash ha'behen, is that they both rely on something for their profitability. The Beis HaShlochem relies on a Mayon, and the Beis HaElon has this additional revenue stream that comes from an Elon. The question is, what happens if Yovesh HaMayon or Niktas HaElon, does that somehow impact what the responsibilities of this farmer are towards the landowner or no? So what did the Mishnah say? Typically not. If, however, he said, Chakor li stay Beis HaShlochem zu, or he said, Chakor li stay Beis HaElon ze, then it's different. Then Yovesh HaMayon or either way, the Gemara now is going to explain this halacha of the Mishnah a little bit better. Says the Gemara, hey Chidami, let's try to understand this halacha a little bit better. Specifically, Hamekabel Sodom Echaveroi V'hi Beis Hashlochem. So what's the halacha? Yovesh HaMayin Einemenakaloi. If he said, however, Chakorli Stay Beis Hashlochem Zu, then Yovesh HaMayin Menakaloi min chikuroi. So the Gemara wants to understand the nature of this mayan that dried up, that's now impacting this farm. Is it talking about that there was a very large, major, significant, important body of water that was used to irrigate the fields, and that's the mayan that the Mishnah is talking about that dried up? But the Gemara says, if that's the case, why in the ratio? Why, if he didn't speak out, is the halacha that you don't get to reduce it? Name away, what the farmer should tell the landowner is, makas medinohi. This is a makas medina. Okay, and Rashi says that we're going to learn in a Mishnah in tomorrow's daf that the halacha is that if there's a makas medina, then we always side with the farmer, and will always reduce whatever the impact of the Makas Medina was from the amount of money that the farmer has to give. So the Gemara's kash is, if the Yavash HaMayin of the Mishnah is talking about where it was the Nahar Rabbah, that's Makas Medina. So per the Mishnah that we're going to learn, the halacha is that it certainly should impact the amount that he has to give. Rapapa says, you have to say the Yavash Nahar Zuto. It's not talking about where the Nahar Rabbah dried up. That would be a Makas Medina and a Chinami. That would be a moot point in our sugya. It's talking about where it was a Nahar Zuto. A Nahar Zuto, that's a small body of water that this particular farmer was leveraging, that dried up. It's not a Makas Medina. So the question is, does he get to reduce it from the amount that he has to give the landowner or not? The Amale, now, what was the halacha in the Mishnah? Unless he adds language, then you don't reduce it. And what's the reason for that? It's because the landowner could tell the farmer, meaning at the end of the day, it's not like you're really losing out. Why? Because you could always take pails, start walking, become a Vasatreger, and do it old school. Do what it is that you have to do. Meaning, if it would impact him to a degree, and all the Rishonim make this diak, that he wouldn't be able to do his work, then the landowner would be responsible to compensate him. You would be able to reduce it from the amount of rent that you're paying. But being that there is a plan B, albeit a much more arduous plan B, but at the end of the day, there's another way to do this. If there's another way to do this, this is not something that gets the doctor. Amar Rapapa, Rapapa said, Hani Tarti Masnaisa Kamaisa. The first two Mishnayas that we learned, yesterday's Mishnah and this morning's Mishnah, Mishkachas of Bein Bechakrenusa, Bein Bekablenusa. So these halachas apply, Seifer a Choyker, Seifer a Kab, Mikan Ve'elach. However, moving forward, meaning, starting with the next Mishnah we're going to learn, and really through the end of the parak, the Isa Bekablanusa, Lesa Bechakanusa, in the event that it applies to a Choyker, then it won't apply to a Kablan, with Isa Bechakanusa, Lesa Bekablanusa, and vice versa. The point is that either it's going to apply by one or it's going to apply by the other. So the first two halachas in the Mishnah, the halacha of Akol Kaminag HaMedina, and the halacha of the Mishnah we learned this morning, those halachas are true, Seifer Chakiris and Seifer Arisos. All the Mishnayas we're going to learn now are going to be true, the other. Either it's going to be true for the Chakiris or for the Arisnos. Rashi says, and call Achas HaFarshenah B'mkoymah. So Rashi says, don't be intimidated, don't be worried, I have your back. I'm going to explain to you each Mishnah as we're going to learn it, and I'm going to tell you, is this a Mishnah that's Negei Arisnos, or is this a Mishnah that's Negei Chakiris? But as it relates to the first two Mishnayos, it's true for both. Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the Yom, it speaks out that the truth is that the first Mishnah was really partially true for Chakiris and Arisos, but partially only true for the Arisos. Why? The first part of the Mishnah that said Akol Kaminag HaMedina, so that's true Seifer Arisos and Seifer Chakiris. But what was the second part of the Mishnah? Kishem Shecholkem B'Tvua, Kach Cholkem B'Tevin U'Bekash, Kishem Shecholkem B'Yayin, Kach Cholkem B'Zmeiris. That's something that's true for Arisos only, that's not true for Chakiris, as we spoke out yesterday. Taisa says, Enochinami, but his Lashon is, Mikomokim Iker Milsa, the Iker of the first Mishnah, the Hainu Resha Mayri Bein Bechakiris Bein Bechakiplana. So it's interesting. You have a Resha and a Seifa in the Mishnah, but sometimes it's like the Iker and the Tuffel. There's the Teirif and the Teufis of the Mishnah. So Taisa says that if you're going to look at the first Mishnah, let's be honest, what's the Iker of the Mishnah? Hakol Kaminag HaMedina. That's the Iker of the Mishnah, and that's true Bein Bechakiris Bein Barisos, and that's what Rapapa was referring to. Is it true that every single nuance of the Mishnah is true b'chakiris v'arisos? No. But Rapapa's observation was that the ikur halacha of the first Mishnah is akol k'minag HaMedina, that's true b'chakiris and arisos, and the ikur halacha of the second Mishnah, which is that yovesh ha-mayin or nikta so'ilon in a menakeloi, unless you added particular language, that's also true bein b'arisos and bein b'chakiris. Either way, im amaloi chakarli stay beis ha-shlochim zeh v'chul. So what was the halach again of our Mishnah, some dritimu, if someone's makabal the sada mechaver, it's a beis ha-shlochim, it's a beis ha-ilon. And clearly the beis ha-shlochim is relying on a mayin, and the beis ha-ilon is relying on an ilon. So what happens if it's yovesh ha-mayin or it's nikta so'ilon, in a menakeloi min chikuroi. If, however, he said chakarli stay beis ha-shlochim, then the halach is yovesh ha-mayim v'nikzas ha-ilon menakaloi min chikuroi. So the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Freak the Gemara. Why is it that if we add this language, chakorli stei beis ha-shlochim zu, now already yovesh ha-mayim menakaloi min chikuroi. V'neimalei, let the machker tell the choyker, shmo ba'alma amrilach. When I said that, yes, I'm going to lease you stei beis ha-shlochim zu, what I was referring to was not that regardless of what happens, meaning if it's Yovesh HaMayin, I'm going to make you whole. I never meant that. So what did I mean when I said stay beis ha-shlochim zu? What I meant was I'm going to lease you this field, and I refer to this field as stay beis ha-shlochim. Meaning, my understanding when you said stay beis ha-shlochim zu wasn't l'rabos that if something happens to the Mayan, I'm going to make you whole. I thought it was you was just trying to identify which one of my fields you wanted to lease. And this field is known to me as the stay beis ha-shlochim. By ins in the family, we refer to it as the stay beis ha-shlochim. And I was under the impression that that's what you meant. But I never meant to give you additional rights that in the event that it's going to be Yovesh HaMayim, that I'm going to make you whole. Meaning, let him tell him, Shma ba'am amrilach, I meant to lease you the field that we refer to as the stay beis ha-shlochim. And the Gemara backs up this kasha milay tanya. Isn't this really a mafurish a brisa? But the basra dav zayin right around the corner. If somebody tells his friend base kor offer, I'm going to sell you a base kor offer, and they make a kinyan, they make a deal. And then the buyer goes and he takes a look at this property that he's buying, and he saw there was no base court. Right, base court is a measurement, a very large measurement, and there was no base court. So the halach is afa pisha imba yalo lesech. Even if all there is a lesech, higiyoi the halach is the mechiras chal. And the reason is shloim machaloi elishma, because we assume that when this person said I'm going to sell you base court offer, he didn't mean measure it. You'll see it's a base court offer. He meant I'm selling you the property that I refer to as the base court offer. Now this sounds a little bit greasy from an arrangement perspective, but the point is this is something you're allowed to do, says the Gemara, with the caveat for who the miskiri base court, meaning it's only assuming that Enochanami, he refers to this as the field that's a base core. So assuming that he refers to this as the field that's a base core, so then he always could say that I didn't mean that I'm going to literally sell you a base core. I meant the field that I refer to as a base core. What if somebody says I'm going to sell you a kerem? So then the halacha is that even if the person shows up and he sees there was no gefanim in the kerem, he giyoy. The mechir is a chal. What do you mean? It sounds like a mekach tois. I'm buying a kerem and there's no gefanim. Shloim machli elushma. No, what he meant to sell him was is the field that he refers to as the karma. Again, but who the miskri karma? It's only assuming that that's not what he used to refer to this field as. Pardis, somebody says, I'm going to sell you a pardis. So you see from here that a pardis has remoinim. But either way, even if there's no pomegranates inside this pardis, the halach is, it's a mechira. Aye, what do you mean? Shouldn't it be a mekach tois? No, shloim machalei elushma, because we assume that he meant to sell him the field that he refers to as the paradis, food to miscreate paradis. Again, assuming that it's referred to as a paradis. But what do you see from here? Almo, amma leishma ba'alma amriloch. Hachanami neimo leishma ba'alma amriloch. So you see from here that if a person has a field that he calls a base core, he has a field that he calls a karma, he has a field that he calls a paradis, and he sells it, even though in Lashon Bnei Adam, usually a base core means it has a base core in it, usually a karma means it has kfanim in it, a paradis usually means it has remoinim in it, but lav dafka, if this is what people refer to it as, and that's what the agreement was, so the Meicher has a legitimate bona fide taina to say that this is what I sold you. So what's the Gemara's kasha? So why in our Mishnah do we say that if the person says that I'm going to sell to you base hashlochin zu or base o ivon ze, that it means when he added that language that in the event that the Mayan was Yavesh, or the Elon was Niktzatz, he's going to reimburse him, he's going to continue to make him whole. Maybe all he meant with that Riboy Antisephus Loshen is that I'm selling you this field. Now, it's Vahud the Miskari Kach. You need the Hanocha that that's what it's referred to. But the point is, there's a Braisa that says that if somebody says base core Karma Pardeso, Lav Dafka, he means a base core Kamru Pardesa, to the extent that Vahud the Miskari Kach. So how come in our Mishnah do we assume for sure that when he uses this language that he means to be Moisef? It should be Lav Dafka, he means to be Moisef. We should see whether it's referred to as that. So the Gemara says, Amma Shmuel said like Kash. It's not a stira. Again, it's a subtle stira, but there's no stira really between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Hada amalei machke l'chayker, hada amalei chayker l'machke. The Braisa is talking about where the machke was talking to the chayker. That's Bava Basra Dav Zayin. Our Mishnah is talking about what the Chayker is talking to the Machir. And he explains, if the Machir tells the Chayker Shema Ba'almo, he could say that this is the Machir talking, oh, I meant to sell what I refer to as karma. It's his funny way of referring to this field, but if that's what he refers to it, and that's what he said he's going to sell, then he has a right to do that. If the Chayker ever spoke to the Machir, then Kpeda, we assume for sure, he doesn't mean the field that you refer to as Beis HaShlochin. I mean Beis HaShlochin Zu. Why'd I say those words? Because I want that if it's Yovesh HaMayin, you're going to make me whole. And it's for that reason the chilik between the Mishnah and the Brais is the Machker talking or is the Chayker talking? Ravina said, either Domali Machker or Chayker. It's both talking about where the Machker is talking to the Chayker. Okay, so what then is the Stira? Or better, why in our Mishnah do we say that if the Chayker says, the Machker says, Beis HaShlochin Zeh, we assume that he meant for sure to make him whole in the event that something happens to the Mayan? Maybe all he meant was, is this field that I refer to as the Beis HaShlochin? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Ravina talking, because mid the Kamar Zeh, bing that he sent Beis HaShlochin Zeh, Michal de Goy Begavah. That's right, that he's standing in the field. But what does Zeh always mean? Zeh Keli Van Veyo. Right, the other were pointing at HaKadosh Baruch, Achidish HaZeh Lochem. Right, Kazeh, you should be Mekadosh, the Moilid, when it looks exactly like this. Zeh always means you're looking at between the eyes, right? So if he said Beis HaShlochim Zeh, so he said Meris, he's standing in it, meaning he's literally inside the field. If that's the case, Beis HaShlochim Lama Leila Memes, why did he say the words Beis HaShlochim? He should have said, I want to lease this field. Why does he have to say it's a Beis HaShlochem? You see it's a Beis HaShlochem. You're looking at it. So why even say the word Beis HaShlochem? Oh, must be that it's the reason he said the words Beis HaShlochem is the Karmale. What he's telling him is Beis HaShlochem Kedikayim HaHashpa. I'm willing to lease out a Beis HaShlochem, but it has to be exactly the way it is right now. Meaning, there's a Maya now, that's the Beis HaShlochem that I'm willing to lease. If it's a Beis in Elon, there's an Elon in it now, this is the only type of field that I'm willing to lease. If something happens to the Maya, if something happens to the Elon, then already I'm not masking. So it's not so much the language of Beis HaShlochem Zeh. That in and of itself, take a look at the Brais and Baba Basra Tav Zayin Amaral. It's the fact that you're in the Beis HaShlochem and still you had to mention the word Beis HaShlochem. You're in the Beis Elon and you had to mention the word Beis Elon. That's where the diuk is, that if he added that language, we assume he means that. So again, what did the Mishnah say, just to recap this literally, in a moment? And that is that if someone's mekabala a Beis HaShlochem, someone's mekabala a Beis Elon, and something happens to the Mayan, something happens to the Elon, even though I know, you know, everyone knows that this person took the Beis HaShlochem thinking, great, there's a Mayan there that's going to facilitate the irrigation that I need. Now that the Mayan's not there, I'm not happy anymore. I would love to sit down with the landowner and I'd love to renegotiate and I'd like him to come up with a way to reimburse me for my additional expenses. Teretz is nistaf chosodei, literally, and as a result, this is not something you're allowed to do. If, however, the person made it clear at the onset of the lease that I'm letting you know right now, I'm only taking this lease because there's a Mayan, I'm only taking it because there's an Elon. Also, that's like a tonight that you inserted into this agreement right in the beginning. So that's something that you have every right to do. What was the Mishnah's language that it used to describe a good way of doing it, where the person says, "Chakor li stay beis hashlochem zu, oy stay beis ha'ilon zeh," might have a little bit of a problem with why that language would necessarily mean that. Again, it's vague language. If he says it mefurish, he says it mefurish. But why is this language considered saying it mefurish? There's another way to interpret it. Per Bava Basra Dav Zayin, and the Gemara had two terutz. One terutz is, Bava Basra Dav Zayin is when the machir is talking. Our Mishnah is talking about when the chayker is talking. Ravina said, idi v'idi, when the machir is talking. If the person's in the field and he says this language, that's already shufr the shtarah, right? That's already extra language that wasn't necessary. Why did you say this? Must be, you said this because you wanted to give yourself this additional benefit. But that's for sure. If you would make it clear that you're only taking this in the event that I have the Mayan, I have the Elan, if something happens to it, I want the arrangement to be different. So that's pasha, right? That's so obvious. You have every right to negotiate this transaction the way you want to negotiate it. The reason we had a whole sugi over here is because the language that the time of the Mishnah used, it doesn't seem to be so clear that it's suggesting this halacha in light of a price above a basra that's zayin of adal. Either way, zok the Mishnah vayta makabel sod mechaveiro, if someone's makabel the field from his friend vihoiviro, and he decided to just let the field go to waste. So you're an operator, drink l'chaim, looks like everyone's going to make money off of this transaction, and you were lazy, you were hoivira. So the question is, what responsibilities do you have? Are you a mazik? Like, what chiyuvim do you have now towards the landowner? Shamin oiso. So the Mishnah says, we make an assessment. Kamaruya lasois. How much was this field supposed to produce? The noisin loy, and he has to give it. Shekach koisiv loy. Because this is what's written in these agreements. If I'm going to let the field just go to waste, and I'm not going to work it, I'm going to be meitva. So this was language that the lawyers used to put into these lease agreements. And per that agreement, you're going to be responsible if you don't do anything. So if someone's mekabel a field and he decides to just let it go, so the halach is we make an assessment what this field was supposed to produce, and based on that, you are going to be responsible. Rashi, Dibra Maschel Shaminoiso, it's the second Rashi in the Mishnah, says as follows, that this halach of the Mishnah, mekabel sodom echaveira, is kegoyim bekablonos, shekibel lemechzel shushel urviya. It's talking about where you're an aris, where you have a profit-sharing arrangement with the landowner. If, however, you're a choiker, where you're paying a fixed amount of rent, then the halach of this Mishnah is not shayach, demay shamanika, because it doesn't even make sense to make a shuma. You have to pay your rent. Meaning, if you're a tenant and you're paying rent, So you go and you lease some commercial space where you're going to operate a business. And based on that, you had a cheshbon of how much rent you're going to be able to pay. And then you decided to get lazy and you're not operating your business. Is there a shaila? What, you need a mishnah and shas to tell me you have to pay rent? Of course you have to pay rent. What's the frage? The chiddush is where you're a profit share. So the whole arrangement was, we're going to split the profits. There's no profits. What should I tell you? No, you did a bad deal. You'll find a new operator. But the point is, mechates have any responsibilities towards you. Kamash will on the Mishnah note that you have to be shaman. But what did Rashi just say? Rashi just said that this Mishnah is true for the Oris. It's not true for the Choyker, right? For the Choyker, it's Pasha. It's true for the Oris. It's referring back to what Rapapa said earlier. Rapapa said, Hani tartin masnisa kamaisa is bein bechakrenusa bein bekambalusa. Mikan ve'eloch, the isa bekablanusa and less of bechakrenusa. With the isa bechakrenusa, less of bekablanusa. And what did Rashi say? Kol achas afarshena bimkoyma. I'm going to explain each one as we get to it. Here's Rashi explain this Mishnah. This Mishnah is referring to the Kablan, meaning it's referring to the Oris. It's not referring to the Choyker. Zokti Gemara. Rameir ha'yudarish loshen head. Rameir used to darshan loshen hedyet. The Tanya, we learned to the Brisa, Rameir says, avid ashalim. Now, Rameir in this Brisa is essentially saying what our Mishnah said, which means that our Mishnah is Rameir, which, by the way, is good because that Mishnah is supposed to be Rameir. And what the Gemara is saying is that this whole halacha that when medayik, what the lawyers say, im oivav le'yavad hashalim b'meitfo, is shitas rameir in chas, where rameir was doirish loshen hedya. So what does it even mean that he was doirish loshen hedya? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, doirish loshen hedya, the first Rashi in the Gemara, shehergilu hedyoitos lichtoiv shaloi betakonos chachamim, hoyu doirish haloshoin lifsoi kadin achra. He would literally be medayik the Lashoyne Azov of the Sofer, the same way he would be Medayik, the Lashoyne Azov, almost of Takonas Chazal. So he would read the reg, and he would say, oh, this is what it says, and based on that, he would deduce a halacha. What does this even mean? So the Rishonim say, what it means is as follows, that really, what does the Lashon say? Maybe Ashalim B'meitfa just means that if I'm going to let your field go to waste, and your field will get damaged as a result of it, I'll pay you. But Mechatesi, I'm going to make you whole for any profits that you were supposed to have earned that you're not going to earn. The Teretz is Rameyah HaYudarish Loshen Hedin. He was Medayik the Loshen of the lawyers. And he said as follows, Im Oiver V'loy Avid HaShalim B'meitfo. Why do you have to say Im Oiver V'loy Avid? You could have said Im Oiver HaShalim B'meitfo or Im Loy Avid HaShalim B'meitfo. What's this Tanai Kofel? What's this double Loshen? Im Oiver V'loy Avid HaShalim B'meitfo. Oh. Must be the Ribui Haloshin is coming to tell me that not only am I going to make you whole for any losses that you incur, but more than that, I'm also going to make you whole for any profits that you were supposed to have earned that you're not going to end up earning. But either way, Rameyer HaYudayrish Loshin Hadid. It's interesting that Rameyer, we know himself, was a Sofer. Not only was Rameyer a Sofer, Rameyer was a master of language. Stam Mishnah's Rameyer and Rav Shira Goyin in his famous brief says that the reason Rav Yudah Nasi chose the prices of Rameyer to be the cornerstone of the Mishnah was based on the fact that Lashoinu was tzach, he was kurz and sharp, he had an incredible way with language. Rameyer is the one that says in Shas Eino the Moitzi Dvar of the Vatala. The Gemara says Rameyer used to be Medayik names, Medayik Beshma. So he was a master of language, was Rameyer, amongst his other incredible qualities. But the bottom line is, Rameyer HaYodarish Lashon Hedyet. Now stating that, it's very nice. Oh, this is Rameyer Lashitas. The Gemara is going to bring five other Tanoim that were also Darish Lashon Hedyet. But either way, this is Shintas Rameyer. Rameyer was Darish Lashon Hedyet. One thing that's Kedai to give a shout out to before we go Vaita, and this was the topic of a raid bite in the beginning of Perak HaSoichas HaUmnan, and that is, it sounds pretty clear from the Gemara that we just learned, that were it not for the language that was put into the agreement, if somebody makes an agreement, you provide the capital, I'll be your operator, and we'll have a profit sharing. And then the person decides to not work. And as a result, the person that put up the money ends up losing. It sounds like really the operator has no responsibility. Meaning, if he loses money, that's another story. But the fact that there's some menias harevach that this person assumed he was going to get based on an agreement that you agreed to, that in of itself doesn't make me culpable. It's dafka over here because this language that says im over v'loy avid hashalom b'meitfo and Ramei was doirish loshen hedyet, and if the lawyers had that extra language over here, you're going to be chayv. But otherwise, it sounds like you're not going to be chayv. And the emes is that's true. That's halacha l'maisa. If somebody does something that causes somebody else not to profit, where otherwise that person stood the prophet, the halach is you are not responsible in Chosha Mishpat, and ain loy olav ela taroimis, and this is known as what? This is known as a mevatel kisoy shel chaveiro. Right? We spoke at the Ktsois and Shin Lamed Gimel in the beginning of Asoicha, so umnin on this inyan, and really, the mekar to mevatel kisoy shel chaveiro, that if you do something to be meineach revach from somebody else, all you're responsible for is, the guy could have tainas on you, but beyond that, you have no chesh mishpat responsibility. It comes from a Yerushalmi, and you know where the Yerushalmi is? Actually in two places, but Yerushalmi is right here. It's in Perek HaMikap. It's on this Mishnah. And the Rishonim say, what does the Yerushalmi mean? Right? Every Yerushalmi is a little faplunted to understand exactly what it means. But the mainstream mahalach in this Yerushalmi is that you see from the fact that you have to be Deirush Lashon Hedyin, and it's really based on this extra language that the attorneys use to insert into the document that makes this guy responsible for anything that's going to happen. But Luve, that extra language, Itaku wouldn't be responsible. So you say meres from our Mishnah, Loshana Yerushalmi. So you say meres. Hamavatul kisay shal chaveiro ein leyolov elataroim. It's not the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda hoyu derish Loshan Hedi. So we just mentioned that Ramei was derish Loshan Hedi. So the Gemara now is going to give us a little bit of a breather, and the Gemara is going to digress other Tanam that were also Dairish Lashon Hedid. So Rabbi Yehuda was Dairish Lashon Hedid. Tanya learned in the Brayser. Rabbi Yehuda says, other mevi carbon ashral ishtoi. A man has a responsibility to bring a carbon ishtoi for his wife. So we're talking about a woman that has to bring a carbon. So for example, she's a yoledes, she's a zava, where the halacha is she has to bring a carbon in order to attain her complete tahira. And that carbon, the type of carbon depends on her financial status. So if she's an usher, it's a behema. If she's an aniya, it's going to be birds and bedale dalas, dalach, as you bring even a carbon mincha. So a carbon oil of a yair, the type of the carbon depends on who the person was. Rabbi Yehuda said a chiddush. He said that a woman, a married woman, that has a responsibility to bring a carbon oil of a yair, it's not her responsibility to bring the carbon, it's the husband's responsibility to bring the carbon. And being that that's the case, if the husband's an usher, he has to bring a carbon usher. Meaning, not only does he have to bring the carbon, we add in soul to injury. What we say is that you have to bring the carbon based on your financial matzav, not based on your wife's financial matzav. And if you're a gvir, you're going to have to bring a gvirish carbon. That's Rabbi Yehuda's halacha. Other may be carbon asher. What does a carbon asher mean? It means when it's an oil of a yoyred, you bring the carbon asher. The chen kol carbon for carbon sheichayevis. And not only do you have to bring the carbon oil of a yoyred on behalf of your wife, but it's true for all carbonis. Rashi, very important Rashi. Tais says the same thing. I'm not going to talk about this now, but it's an important Rashi in Tais nonetheless. When we say that the husband has to bring all karbanos for his wife, what it means is all karbanos other than neder and nedava. You're going karban zivasa va'ashan v'chato she'olah. Meaning, if she voluntarily decided to bring a karban, then the husband doesn't have responsibility. But if she's obligated to bring the karban, any karban that she's obligated to bring is the husband's responsibility. What's the reason? Shekach koisav la. Because, said Rabbi Yehuda, if you open up the ksuba, it says the following lashon. Achrayis de'islei cholai min kadmas dena. This language is a little bit fuzzy, right? The whole ksuba is a little bit fuzzy, but this language is a little bit unclear what it means. And it says, Achrayis de Islech Olai, I'm taking responsibility, min kadmas dena, even for things that predate our marriage. What is it referring to? So Rabbi Yehuda was Dairish Lashon Hedyit. He said, we have to learn something out of this Lashon, and something needs to be taken out of it. And you know we're going to take out of it? We're going to take that a husband has responsibility to pay and cover the expenses for his wife's carbons. Hillel Azokin, oh, you're Dairish Lashon Hedyit. Hillel Azokin also was Dairish Lashon Hedyit. Tanya, we went to the Brayse, Anche Alexandria, the people in Alexandria, Egypt, they would be Mekadosh their wives. And when it came time for the Chuppah, so we know, once upon a time, there was 12 months between Erisin and Chuppah for a Psula, 30 days between Erisin and Chuppah for an Amana. Today, everything happens under the Chuppah. But once upon a time, it was not like that. So they would be Mekadosh Nishasem. And then when it came time for the Chuppah, a year later, Bon Machem, other people would come, and they would chop these wives. They were ishes because they already had kedushin. Ubikshu chachamim lasis bnei mamzer, and the chachamim felt sometimes the women would become pregnant from this maisa, and they felt that the children are mamzer. And it's not they felt; it's pashit. If someone's born an ishes ish and has a child, the child is a mamzer. Amar them hilazok and said he viu liksubas imchem. I want to see the ksuba of the mothers. Meaning, let me see the ksubas of Alexandria. He viu liksubas iman. They brought a ksuba umatza, and he saw the following language. It said shekasu behem lekishetichnasi lechupa heavy lila into. It said that even though right now we're doing the kedushin, but at the time of the chuppah, that's when the marriage is going to go in effect. And when Hillel HaZaken saw that language, he says, the children are not going to be mamzerim. Why not? So Hillel HaZaken was being derish lashon hedid. He was being medayik to ksuba. This is a little more than lashon hedid. This is not stam a lawyer, right? This is a ksuba pseida. But what is a ksuba? It's a legal document, right? So he was being medayik to legal document. He said, why does it have to say l'kishetichnasi l'chuppa heavily le'intu? Obviously, l'kishetichnasi l'chuppa heavily le'intu. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory, right? So it's heavily le'intu. So why do you need this language? So said Hillel HaZaken, I think that what the Chachamim meant, what the scribes mean when they write this language is that they don't want even the Kedushin to be Chal until the Chuppah. And it's Gil, they're making a Tanai in the Kedushin. There'll be a Kedushin, but they must have been aware of this custom, and they were worried about it, and they didn't want the child to be a mamzer. So they said, that's when it's going to be heavily into. So he said, if that's the case, the children are not going to be mamzer. So Hillel HaZaken, being Dorish Loshen Hedyet, the Loshen of the Ksuba, to make it that these women would not end up being Ishes Ishes at the time that these people came that were Chaytfen Oysam, so that the children that they had would not be mamzer. It's interesting that the Gemara here tells this story of the Anshei Alexandria, which really paints the Anshei Alexandria in a very, very poor light. The truth is, there's a Yerushalmi, a Masechtas Kedushin. It's in Perek Omer, it's Perek Gimel, it's Halacha Yud Beis. The Yerushalmi says, Rab Tanchum Bar Papa Sholach Sho'al Le Rab Yoisi Train Uvdin Men Alexandria. So Rab Tanchum Bar Papa, he sent to Rab Yoisi two Maisa Shoyas Kachoya that happened in Alexandria. Echod Bepnuya, the Echod Be'ishasish. Both related to Maisa of Gilead Arias. One was Gilead Arias with a Pnuya, and the other one was Gilead Arias with a married woman. Be'ishasish, Sholach Kosavle. Now, as it relates to the Ishasish, now it's not so clear from the Yerushalmi what even the story was, right? This is written in real Yerushalmi style. But if you look at the Noisakalim say that there was an Eved. There was an Eved that was ba on a Pnuya, and there was an Eved that was ba on an Eshesish, and there was a child that was born. And they sent from Alexandria to the great Rabbi Yossi, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, what's the halach of this child? So he says, as it relates to the Eshesish, he said, oh, an Eved has a child with an Eshesish? He wrote back, Kurtz and Sharf, Lo Yovei Mamza Bekal Hashem. That was the whole answer, right? Lo Yovei Mamza Bekal Hashem, the child's a Mamza. But Pnuya, as it relates to Pnuya, Shalach Kosalei wrote back to them, Nikorim Atem, from your Shaila, it's pretty clear to me, She'en Atem Muzorin al B'noisi Yisrael HaKadoshes, that you're not careful when it comes to the Kedusha of the B'noisi Yisrael. But either way, these were Chevra from the Anshei Alexandria, and it's certainly the Anshei Alexandria, the Shitasayu, right here in our Gemara, that you see they had this minig of Chaytfin, Oysam, Farda Chuppah, right? We know the Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Gimel Amud Aleph Tibol Hegman Trilo, but this sounds like this was the Anshei Alexandria themselves, right? I mean, just from the Gemara, it sounds a little bit like that, and from the Musa that Rabbi Yossi gives in that Yerushalmi. So I saw that Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer Shlita Hagoyin Agadol, and this is in the Sefer Menuchas Shalom. It's in Cheluk Yud Beis Simen Pehe. The name of the Simen is Beinyan Mayasa Adam V'Yu Loi Banim Schar. What should a person do if he wants to have Banim Schar? So he was malakit all the different schoolists that you find in Chazal. He has a list of 11 different schoolists as it relates to Ma Yasa Adam V'yu Loi Banim Schar. But in the beginning, in the introduction to this siman, he talks a little bit about the Anshei Alexandria. He brings the Gemara that we just learned, but Metziah Daf Kof Dalet, he brings the Yerushalmi, and he brings a Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash is in Esther. It's Esther Rabbah, it's Perek Aleph Yud Zayin. It's on the Pasuk Chel Paras Umadai. Either way, Tani B'Shem Rab Nosin, May Asara Midoy Seilu. Quote, Asara Chalokim Shel Znus Ba'olam. There were 10 Chalokim of Znus that descended onto the world. Tisha, 9 of them, Ba'Alexandria. The Echad B'Chal Ha'olam. 9/10 of all the Taiva for Znus ended up in Alexandria. So he says, that's the rest of the story in our Gemara right here, and that's the rest of the story in this Yerushalmi. So he says, Adav HaNifla, Kedarkoi B'Kodesh. He says, there's a Gemara in the Sechtes Nida, Daf Ayin Amadeis. The Gemara tells a story about an interaction that happened with Rabbi Shua, Shum ben Chananya, the great Tana Rabbi Shua, and the Anshei Alexandria. They asked him a whole bunch of questions, and he answered them. He was a big Chacham Rabbi Shua, Kemuvin, but he was also a Chachma in Chachmas Ha'olam. And not just that, he was somebody that very often lobbied on behalf of the Jews in government circles. There's many Gemaras that talk about that. Either way, so here he's talking and debating with the Antri Alexandria. So one of the questions they asked him was, Mayasa Adam Yiloi Banim Schar. What should a person do if he wants to have Banim Schar? Amar Lehem, so he told him, Yisa Isha Ha'igenes Loi. He should marry a woman that's Isha Ha'igenes Vim. V'yikadish Atzmoi B'shas Tashmish. And he should be Nizah B'kdusha Yisera when it comes to Tashmish Amito. Amru, so they told him, Harbe also came V'loi Ha'ilu. A lot of people did that and it didn't work. Amar Lehem, so he told him, I hear, Yivakish Rachamim Yimisha Banim Shaloi. Mask him. What you should do is pray. Daven, you want to have Banim Scharim, you should daven for Banim Scharim. And the Gemara comes out at the end, the Habaloi Haloi Sagi. That really both things he said were true. And what he meant to say was, is you have to do both. It's a freak of Yaakov Chaim Sofer. Says, it always bothered me this Gemara. In light of another Gemara. There's a Gemara Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Yudav Meis. The Gemara says, Ma Yasa Adam Yiloi Banim Schar. What should a person do if he wants that Banim Schar? Rabbi Eliezer says, Yifazer Ma'isav La'anim. She give a lot of stuff. Rabbi Yeshua says, Yisamach Ishtoi L'dvar Mitzvah. Rashi says, Far Tashmish, he should be Mesameach his wife. So the Rishonim explain why. Because the Gemara says, Isha Mazras Tchila, you're going to have a Zacha, right? Isha ki Sazriya, the Yolda Zacha. If the Isha is Mazriya Tchila, then you're going to end up having a Zacha. So if Yisamach Ishtoi, she'll be Mazras Tchila. If she's Mazras Tchila, like this, you're going to have a Zacha. So Ma Yasa Adam Yuloi Banim Schar, and Rabbi Eliezer says, Yifazam Ma'usav La'aniyim. Rabbi Yeshua says, Yisamach Ishtoi L'dvar Mitzvah. So Freik, Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer, how do you reconcile the two Rabbi Yeshuas? Rabbi Yeshua in Bava Basra says, Mayasa Adam Yiloi Banim Schar Yisamach Ishtoi L'dvar Mitzvah. But when the Anshe Alexandria asked him, Mayasa Adam Yiloi Banim Schar, what did he say? He said, you should marry Isha Yigenesloi, Yikadish Atzmoi. It's a whole different Indian. It's Mamish Fakir almost. Yisamach is Ishtoi and Yikadish Atzmoi. Rashi over there says, but if it's Nius Yisera. So which one is it? So he says, Yeshloi Ma Rabbi Yeshua really held Yisamach is Ishtoi, but he was talking to the Anshe Alexandria over here. And these Chevra, he knew what their weakness was. Tisha Kabin of Nus. What he has to tell them Yisamach is Ishtoi. This was an opportunity to give them a little teichacha, to give them a little bit of musar. So he told them, you should marry a Isha Higenesloi, and not just that, you should be Mekadish yourself, Bekdusha Yisera. He says, he looked around for this kashi, he finally found the Radal in an art, asked this steer in Rabbi Yeshua, and he plied Sarachin. But he says, B'siyata D'shmaya, if you know the history of the Anshe Alexandria, and you can appreciate the context a little bit, he says, this was Abyssal Amusar Shmuz that Rabbi Yeshua was giving. Either way, so we're talking about different Tanon that with Dorish Lashon Hedit. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Hoya Dorish Lashon Hedit. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha also used to be Dorish Lashon Hedit. Tangle into the price. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, Hamalves Chaveiro, if somebody lends money to his friend, lo yimashkin enu yoyse mechayfe. If he's going to take a mashkin shouldn't be more than the value of the chayf. Meaning, really, there's no reason that you can't take a mashkin more than the chayf, that you can't collect more than the chayf. Why not? Ribbis. We just learned Ezo Neshech. But you can't take the mashkin that's more than the chayv. You have to make sure that the collateral is pinklich, the value of the chayv. Why? You can't have a little bit of coverage like mechtei, so that's not something you're allowed to do. But that's Rabbi Shua Menkarcha's memra. Hamal ves chaveiro, lo yimash yenenu, yoyse michayfe. And Rabbi Shua Menkarcha says, I'll tell you why. It's based on the language that you have in a document that discusses a situation where the malva takes the mashkin that he received, he gives it to the loiva, and he allows him to have it for an extended period of time. And really, the background to this is, we know it says in the Torah that if a malva takes a mashkin, you have to give the mashkin back to the loiva. Right, if you give him a mashkin that the loiva is going to need during the day, you have to give it back to him in the morning. And if it's a mashkin he's going to need at night, you have to give it back to him at night. What would be if a malva takes a mashkin, and he tells the loiva, you know what, this is crazy, you give it to me in the morning, you give it back to me at night, just have it, keep it for the next 3 months, and then afterwards you're going to give it back to me. So you could do that, right? There's nothing that prohibits that. Now, in the eventuality that that actually happened, so they would write up a document, and this is what the document would say. Tashlumto de islach alai. This mashkin that the loiva says, I gave you the malva, that you now are giving me back, and you're letting me keep long term, kol kabal dichi. In the event that I'm not going to pay back the loan, you'll have a right to take it from me and you'll be able to keep it. Meaning, you'll be able to keep this entire thing. Now, what do you see from here? You see from here that the language said, this is just what that document stated. Didn't have to, but it did. That in the event that the malva is going to have to go to the loiva and take back the mashkin, again, it's a little funny. Usually the malva is holding on to the mashkin. We're talking about where the malva gave the loiva the mashkin. He doesn't want this back and forth every day. So loiva, you keep the mashkin. If I ever need it, I'll take it from you. So there's language that says that in the event that that happens, the mashkin will be mine, and that will satisfy the loan. It sounds like even if the mashkin's worth two times what the loan is worth, still you'll be able to do that. And that's a problem, because you're not allowed to keep that. So therefore, said Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha, to preempt a situation that might result in the loiva giving the malva much more than he borrowed, which is ribbis. So what you should do is, you should have language that's going to address it. Not have language that's going to address it. What you should do is you should make sure that the mashkin is not going to be worth more than the chayv. If the mashkin is not worth more than the chayv, like this, you won't run into any issues. But the Gemara says like this. Why did they even write this document? Says the Gemara, time of the kosav lahachi, like kosav lehachi, like kanya. Meaning, what was the purpose of this language in the first place? Right? If you think about it, a malva has a shtar chayv that says the leiva borrowed money from him, he owes him money. He gave him a mashkin. They're going back and forth every day. He's getting dizzy. You keep the mashkin. I'll come back for it at some point if I decide I want it. No problem, but I'm writing to you a piece of paper. You have a document that says that if you ever want to collect the chay from the mashkin, you can keep it. Not just that, take the whole mashkin, which Rabbi Shimon Karcha didn't like so much because it sounds a little bit like you can literally take the whole mashkin, right? A little problematic. But what do you have to write this for? I have a shtar chay, so if I ever have to collect, I'll be able to collect. So in the Gemara's kasha, the Gemara's preempting the teretz. The teretz that we're preempting is, maybe the reason we write it is because the halacha is that metaltli diyasmi is loy mishtabli l'bachay. So maybe the reason he writes this language is because what happens if the loyva ends up dying and now the malva is going to have to collect from the yisoymim, he won't be able to collect from this mashkin. And the reason is because it's metaltli. So he wants this mashkin to retain its status as collateral for him to be able to collect from it. So basically what he says is that I want you to know that even if the loiva dies, so that now I can't collect the metalton, but this metalton I'll be able to collect. This is going to be different. But the Gemara's cash is, I hear that would be an interesting reason why to have this additional language. It'd be in the event of that you're collecting from the assignment, where ordinarily you can't take metalton. Oh, but fake the Gemara, a mashkin you're always able to take. Even from Yisoyim, even if you don't put this language. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan said this. Rabbi Yochanan said, Mishkanoi, if there was a mashkin, the Heshav lay a mashkin, and the Malva gave the mashkin back to the Loiva, Umeis, and the Loiva died, Shemtem Yagabi Banov, you're allowed to take it from the children. Nothing to do with lawyer language. This, nothing to do with some special Hischaivis. This is something that's always the halacha. And by the way, the reason this is the halacha is because, you know, Rabbi Yitzchak Shita, right? Every single time you find mashkin in Shas, we always say this, the Gemara mentions Rabbi Yitzchak somewhere. God, it doesn't mention it here explicitly, but it mentions it implicitly because Pshan in this Gemara is Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak calls minayin lebal choyv shekoyne mashkin shenemol luchati yitzdaka. Rabbi Yitzchak has a shita that the bal choyv is koyne the mashkin. So what's the point? The point is once he takes the mashkin, it's his mashkin, and when he gives it back to the loiva, it's like he's loaning it to him. But really, who owns the mashkin? Really, it's the malva that owns the mashkin. So if the malva that owns the mashkin, I can take it from the assignment. You can't be goyv al choyv from the assignment. I'm not being goyv al choyv. This is really mine. I mean that it's really mine. This you're allowed to do. So the Gemara says, why do you even have to write this link? So the Gemara says the reason they wrote this language was Ahani Ksiva Ligurayin. I'll tell you where this was Negeya, the language. Where the language was Negeya was, what would be if the Malva gives the Loiva back the Mashkin, and the Loiva uses the Mashkin, Kemuvin, and because of that, it ends up going down in value a little bit. Meaning, there's depreciation, there's natural wear and tear, right? Top Rashi. Ahani ksiva legeroyin, hashtar moyel lepchas domov. The shtar is going to help for the event that it's going to depreciate. Yifchasut mei hamashkin shenishtamash by haloiva, in the event that the value of the mashkin went down. And why did it go down? Because the loiva used it. Yifram yishar nechosav kechol hakosav b'shtar. The shtar is going to allow him to go and say that even though this was the mashkin that was originally agreed upon, but at the same time, I am putting language in there that says that I don't want to take any loss. I want to be able to be made whole. So that's why they used to write this language. The reason they wrote this language is because be'etzem, without this language, if the malva would take the mashkin and he would give it to the loiva, so what would be the halach if now he takes the mashkin back and it's not worth the same that it was worth originally? Why not? Because the loiva has been holding on to the mashkin for the last 3 months. He didn't have to give it to him for 3 months, but he gave it to him for 3 months. And now there was some wear and tear, it's worth less money. So technically the Malva would end up losing out. It's to preempt that they used to write this language. But what's the point? Once they wrote the language that the Malva says that if I ever have to take the mashkin, that will satisfy the loan, it sounds like even if it's worth much more than the loan, still it's going to be used to satisfy the loan. That's a problem because you're going to run into ribbis issues. So to prevent that from ever happening, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha said that HaMalva's Chaveri Lo Yimashkinenu Yoysa Michoivai, and where was he coming from? It's not a Takonas Chazal. because he's being medayik the lashon of the shtar, and the lashon of the shtar sounds a little bit like you'll be able to use the mashke to satisfy the entire loan. And he's another tanya, Reb Shulben Karcha, who was doyresh lashon hadya. I'll just tell you one ha'aron of flaw that the hafla says. It's actually in Panim Yafis ala Torah, and it's also in Sefer Hamakna in Masechtas Kedushin Daf Ches Amud Beis. And that is, Rabbi Yitzchak holds that a Balchayv is kind of mashkin, right? That's his shita, that when a Balchayv, the Malva takes the mashkin, he's kind of the mashkin, and he based it on a pasuk. The pasuk says, Hoshev toshev leyesu avoid kevoy Hashemesh, v'shocha b'sal masoy uveirachecha ulechot tiet stok lefnei Hashem alokech. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, when the Malva gives the mashkin to the loyv, ulechot tiet it's staka. It's considered staka. Why is it considered staka? He's doing what the Torah said you should do. Right? Where's the staka? Says it must be mikando b'achayv shekoyin mashkin. So really, it's mine. And hayoyis, it's mine. If I give you my nazach, essentially what I'm giving you is tzedaka. That's a raya that it's mine. Frey Tosfos in Kedushin Daf Ches Amud Beis. Tzedaka minayev im toimar. Ikut staka mimay sheyachsa leilishkei vala. He says, I never really understood Rabbi Yitzchak's diyak, that from the fact that it says ulechot tiyat tzedaka, that's a raya that you're kind of the mashkin. The tzedaka is that you're being a righteous person. The Torah says that you should give it back to the loiva, so you're giving back to the loiva. What do you see over there? Mikan shabal choiv kind of mashkin. So Tosfos says two terutzim. The second teretz Tosfos says is that the word tzedaka, just the word tzedaka, means that you're giving something that's yours. That's the taich of the word tzedaka. And being that tzedaka always means you're giving something that's yours, so if it says, well, chati tzedaka, by definition, it means you're kind. It's not so much from the halacha of the Torah that Rabbi Yitzchak was coming from, but it was more from the word, the choice of words. Tzedaka means you're giving something that belongs to you, and that's how we knew chati tzedaka. But says the afla, yesh loymar, that the Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Metzia, daf kuf dalet, that if a balchayv takes a mashkin and he gives it to the loiva, which midine teri had to do every single day, right? If it's something that the arman needs for the day, you have to give it to him bright and early in the morning. And if he needs it at night, you have to give it to him by shkia, right? This is something that the Torah says you are obligated to do. What happens if it wears and tears, right? What happens if something happens to it? If something happens to it, the halacha is that the malva ends up losing. Right? What do we see in our Gemara? Ahani ksiva legeroyin. And the way Rashi explained it, by the way, Tosfos explains the Gemara the same way, is ahani ksiva legeroyin, because ordinarily, if a malva gives the mashkin back to the loiva, and then there's some wear and tear, something happens to it, who's the one that ends up losing? The malva's the one that ends up losing. And the truth is, says the hafla, hagabat smachot, pasha, that's the way it should be. Do the back of the envelope arithmetic. If a malva has a mashkin, and he gives it now to the loiva, and something happens, how do you view this in halacha? The loiva is a shayel. He's using it, wear and tear. It's mesa machas malacha. Mesa machas malacha, we know the shayel is potter. So it's pashut that that's the way it is. If that's the way it is, that means that every single time the malva took the mashkin and he gave it to the loiva, his mashkin was losing a little bit of value, which means he was going to lose a little bit. You know what you're doing? You're giving charity. You're giving tzedakah. And that floss is meyerding. He says, Bishloima, if the balchiv is kind of the mashkin. So pshat is, this is my mashkin. This is my zach. This is mine. And when I collect the chayv, I'm going to collect from this, that's mine. So when I give it to you, I'm a mashal. When you take it from me, you're a shayel. It's mesa machmas malach, you're going to be potter. If, however, the balchiv is not kind of the mashkin, so who owns the mashkin right now? The loiv is the one that owns the mashkin. If that's the case, and it goes down in value, it depreciates. When it comes time for me to collect the chayv, you can't give me a mashkin that's worth 80 cents on the dollar for what the loan was. You're going to have to be the one that makes up the difference. So the reason that I'm losing is because I was kind of the mashkin. Hence, I'm a mashal, you're a shayel, mesa machmas malach, you're going to be potter. If, however, I never acquired it, and then you use it in this wear and tear and ends up going down in value, so you're the one that's going to have to incur the loss. I didn't lose anything. So, zok ta hafla, tois has the kasha, I understand. Wachoti, it's dark, and mikancha b'achoyv, kind of mashkin. It's a tzedakah because you're giving it back. Says the hafla. Giving it back means you're doing chesed. But if balchayv is kind of mashkin, you're actually giving charity. Right? What's the difference between chesed and charity? Chesed means you do chesed. You do a chesed. Staka means when you literally, you take a prut and you give it to somebody. That's what staka is. From the parasha of mashkin, you see that the balchayv may lose by giving the mashkin back to the loiva. Where do you see that? In the fact that the Torah refers to it not as chesed, but the Torah refers to it as charity, it's tzedakah. Where's the tzedakah? The fact that he gets the wear and tear, and he doesn't have to make you whole now for that wear and tear, because we look at him as a shayalus potter by mesa machmas belacha. If that's the case, every single time you return it to him, you're giving charity. And right, just to be clear, in our Gemara, it was a more dramatic case, but you're giving the loiva to mashkin for 3 months, whatever, we just picked that arbitrary number. You're giving it to him for a long period of time. But even in the day in, day out, the daily back and forth between the Malv and the Loiva, this daily wear and tear. And that daily wear and tear is coming on whose cheshbon? It's coming on the cheshbon of the Malv. Oh, must be he's giving tzedakah. And that's what the Torah means when it says, Ulochati tzedakah. But why is that the case? Oh, because he's a shayla. Why is he a shayla? Because you're a mashal. Why am I a mashal? It's not mine. Oh, must be. B'chayim tzedakah, I'm a mashkin. That's the ray, I'm a mashal. You're a shayla. Mesem achas malacha. Where do you see it? From the fact that he said tzedakah. As opposed to what, Freik Tosfos? As opposed to chesed. That's the deal. As opposed to chesed, that Flo says it's in Ponim Yofis on that passing in Parshas Kisetze. And he says it in the Sefer HaMatna in Mesechtes Kedushin. Either way, we're not finished. Rabbi Yossi, how you do Lashon Hed? Rabbi Yossi also used to be Deirish Lashon Hed. Thank you to the Braisa. Makom Shenagu Lasis Ksuba Milva. So the context for this is the halacha of Ksubas Benin Dichrin. We don't need a full introduction on Ksubas Benin Dichrin, but we know that if a woman gets married and she brings a nadin into her marriage, so the halacha is that money is on some level going to belong to her husband, either in the form of Nechsei Malug or in the form of Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. In the event that it's Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, what happened is the husband basically gave a guarantee to this woman that in the event that this marriage is terminated because he either dies or because he divorces her, he's going to give her back dollar for dollar, whatever it is that she brought into this marriage. So essentially, the Ksuba had in it a halva component. What's the halva? It says that I, the husband, am like a loiva, and I'm obligating myself to pay you back the value of the nedunya that you brought in. Now, that obligation that the husband has towards his wife, it mirrors, right, it's a derivative of the obligation that the shver has towards the chasen. Meaning, the avia kala produces a certain amount of money, he's mechayev himself, what we know as the nedunya, and they write the value of the nedunya in the ksuba, and the husband says that in the event of, I'm going to make you all whatever it is that you brought. So Rabbi Yosi said like this, that mokim shenagu lasis ksuva milva, goiva milva, that when they used to write in the shtar that whatever the value of the nedunya is going to be a milva, meaning if it says in the ksuba that I'm being mechayev you $1,000, it means I'm being mechayev you $1,000, so then the husband, the chusin, can be toiveya from his shver $1,000. Because the two mirror each other. Lichba el goyve mechse is the punchline. If, however, the minig was that in the ksuba they would write double the amount. So this is of Mesechtes Ksuba's fame. Sometimes what they would do is they wouldn't write dollar for dollar in the ksuba. But because they wanted to make it sound gishmak by the Kriyas Ksuba, people were like literally sitting there with bated breath. They wanted a new tachlis. What did this person taka give for the Ksuba? And they wanted it to sound flowery and good. So they were magazin with numbers. They would say he's giving him millions of dollars, like hoyav, like nivra, nishketoygen, nishkeflogen. But this is what they would do. So everybody was mamish besimcha, and the rikudim were not shaykh. But it didn't really happen. So there were different minhagim. So let's say the meaning was, is that in the Ksuba they would write double the real dollar amount. So then when the husband goes and he's today from the shvet, you know, he could only be tevei what the real number is. So if the meaning is you write in the ksuba double, so what are you tevei? You tevei a mechza, right? That's how it goes. And this is the Rabbi Yossi that was Dorish Lashon Hedid. Incidentally, this is a little bit of a harder Dorish Lashon Hedid. You have to know where the punchline of Dorish Lashon Hedid is. If you want a marumakim, take a look at the Nemuke Yosef. But either way, we're being Dorish Lashon Hedid, that depending on what it says in the shtar, that's the amount of money that the chosin's going to be able to be tevei from the shvar. So it says the Gemara on this note. Narbaloi, gobu tilsa. Narbaloi, they used to collect a third, meaning they would triple the amount in the ksuba. So if it said in the ksuba a certain amount, so then you would cut it by a third, and that's what the chassan was able to collect from the shver. Because again, the chassan's being mechayev himself, what the shver is being mechayev himself. Mereimer magbi nami shvacha. Mereimer lived in a place where they used to double the amount, but he would collect the full double. What's going on over here? Come on, you live in a place where you know they double the numbers and you're going to the shvers and you're telling them that you have to give the full dollar amount, right? It's a good business model, but this is not something you're allowed to do. The Gemara says, like, kasha, hod ekonimine, hod ekonimine. No, the only time Ravina or Mirema would do this is if there was a kinyan. If there was a kinyan made, a special kinyan, for the fact that even though we're going to, the minig is double, but I'm still going to maybe collect the full amount. If you made a kinyan for it, okay, a kinyan's a kinyan. Rashi said the kinyan was done me'avi habas. It was done from the shver, then already it's going to be different. The Gemara says, Ravina mashbach v'kosiv lebarte. So Ravina once did this. He was mashbach, he doubled the number, and this is what he gave for his daughter. So Ravina is the shver, and he doubled the number for his own daughter. Amalei, they said, nikni minei demar. So the mechitin said, okay, no, lama machana kinyan, let's shrink l'chaim, let's break a glass. Amalei, so he told him, listen, I'm smarter than that. He said, I mikna loy michbal, I michbal loy mikna. If you want a kinyan, I'm happy to make a kinyan, but I'm not doubling the amount. And if you want to double the amount, I'm not going to make a kinyan. Who gave the amalei? There was a person, Rashi says, this person was a shchid merah. So this is a person that was lying on his deathbed, and he says, "Havula arba meis zuzi lebarte b'ksubas." I want you to give 400 zuz for my daughter for her ksufa. Now, one of the chidushim of shchimera is divrei shchimera kichsuvim b'chumsurim damas. You don't even have to make a kinyan when it comes to shchimera. But anyway, he says, "Give 400 zuz for my daughter as the shver." Shalach Rav Achabrei Rav Avi lekamei Rav Ashi. So Rav Achabrei Rav Avi sent Rav Ashi arba meyo de inu tamne meyo. When he said 400, did he mean he wants to give 400, but you should write 800? Or arba meyo zuzi de inu masa? Oh, when he said 400, he meant that he's giving 400, but real, meaning he meant what would say in the ksuba 400, but really, being that the minig is to double, all he's being mechayiv himself is 200. So again, the minig was to double. He said 400. Does he mean write 400, which means really he's being mechayiv himself 200? Or does he mean I'm giving 400, which means that you're going to write 800. So Rav Ashi said, Chazina, it depends. If he said give 400, sorry, if he said havula, then arba me'ezuzi, then entam ne'me. If he says give 400, it's okay. Then it means he's giving 400, we're going to write 800. If he said write it, then it's arba me'ezuzi, then masan. If he says write it, so he's meant write the 400, write the 400. You're writing double, that means the real number is going to be 200. Some say, Rav Ashi had a different psak. He said, it doesn't depend on whether you say havula tnula or kisfula, but rather, chazina Rav Ashi said, we take a look. If he used a lamet when he said, havula arba meyazuzi liksu basa arba meyazuzi de inun tamni meyo, then he meant to actually collect 400, because liksu basa means liguvayna kamar. It means I want you to collect the 400. He omar biksu basa. He didn't say liksu basa. He said biksu basa. Then arba meyazuzi de inun masa. Liksu basa means to collect. Liguvayna. Biksu basa, this is real semantics. That means this is what's supposed to be written. So what are the first two ways to approach this, right? Two lashonis and what Rav Ashi said. One was, did he say tenula or havula, or did he say ksufula? If he said havula 400, oh, that's the number you're supposed to give. You're supposed to write 800. If he said ksufula, that means we're only writing 400. You're giving half of that. You're giving 200. Inami liksubasa, that means that's the number you actually collect. Biksubasa means that's the number you're going to write. But the Gemara says v'loihi. Both Lushoinus of Rav Ashi is not the real psak. Meaning, Rav Ashi said one or the other, but regardless of which one he said, this is not halacha l'maisa. Because what is the halacha l'maisa? Loishna da amar liksu basa, v'loishna da amar biksu basa, arba mei zuzi de inun masan. We're always going to assume that when he says 400, he means 400, which is really 200, meaning it means write 400. Ad da amar havalu stama. Unless he says the word havalu stama. The way the Rishonim explained that in Rav Ashi's first teretz, he made a nuance between havula and ksuvula, but in both stadim, the person, the shchimera, said the word ksuba. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that v'lohi, that if you say the word ksuba, it doesn't matter if it's liksubasa or diksubasa, and it doesn't matter if it's havula or ksuvula. Once you say the word ksuba, what's talacha? We assume this is what should be written in the ksuba. If you say ksuba, it means what should be written in the ksuba. The only time we assume that the 400 is the amount that you should give, and if I can't, you're going to write in the ksuba double that amount as if you say havula stama. All you say is havula. Then already, it's going to be different, and we are going to stop here. But just to end with one davar be'itoy matoiv, and this is really something that we've spoken about in the past, about the ein base medrash b'loy chiddush. It's yodua that the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that Chodesh Iyar is a Chodesh that's mesugal rafu. And it's based on the fact that Iyar is Rosh HaTevis Ani Hashem Reifecha. Comes from the Megala Amukos, the Bnei Soscha brings it, and a lot of tzaddikim in that Sfarim talk very much about this inyan, that Chodesh Iyar is a Chodesh that's Mesugal Rufua. The truth is that it has a Makar in a Gemara. The Gemara is a Masech de Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Omid Beis. The Gemara over there was discussing a river that was known as the Diumeses River. Now, the Diumeses River was a very infamous river. The Gemara says that the great Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, how great was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach? The Gemara says, according to some, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that Rabbi Yechon Mazakeh had five Talmidim. One of them was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. And he used to say, Amiu, Koch Kach Mi Yisrael, on one side of the Kaf Maznaim, and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach would be on the other side of the Kaf Maznaim. He had the ability to be Machriyas Akaf. He literally was heavier in terms of his spirituality than all the Kach Mi Yisrael combined. But either way, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach once went to the Diumeses River. His wife was the one who told him to go Ki Yadua, and when he was there, he forgot all his learning. Ad Kidei Kach, when he came back, they called him up for an aliyah. And old school, you didn't just say Baruchos Hashem Amavarech. You actually had to read from the Sefer Torah, and he had to read the words Achodesh Hazeh Lochem. And instead of saying Achodesh Hazeh Lochem, he said Hacheresh Hayoliva. But either way, this was the Diumeses River. This was some resort which was apparently not a good place to be, but it was a very geshmaka place from a physical perspective. And the Gemara over there is talking about the Diumeses River, and the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan said, also lamoid bekarki yisa shal Diumeses mipnei shema melas umerap, that on Shabbos and Yontif you're not even allowed to stand in the mud of the Diumeses. And the reason is because it has certain healing qualities. It's very geshmak, and refuah b'Shabbos is awesome, and for that reason this is something that you're not allowed to do. So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yudamai Rav, we descend the name of Rav, kol yomer shal Diumeses esra ve'echid yoin, that the best time, if you want to go to the Diumeses and maximize what it is you can get from it, from a refuah perspective, there's a 21-day period during the year where the Diumeses is at its peak. Okay, and he continued, did Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, v'atzeres min aminyan. And you should know, Shavuos is one of those 21 days. So it's 21 days in succession, and atzeres is min aminyan. So the Gemara says, ibo yiluhu, atzeres lahaygisa or lahaygisa. Mean, atzeres is min aminyan. Is a shayla, is it or is it not? So it sounds like it's either the first day or the last day. And the question is it the first or is it the last? So does it start from Shavuos or does it end with Shavuos? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Amash Shmuel, Shmuel said, Kulu shakiani midivcha v'ad atzarti maidu. Shmuel, who was a doctor, said that all medications, they work the best between the time of Pesach and Shavuos. So what do you see from there? You see from there that kufa between Pesach and Shavuos is a zman that's mesugal refuah. So if we know that the Diumeses is refuah, and Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that it was most mesugal the refuah for 21 days, and Shavuos is one of those 21 days, and you're trying to figure out, isn't it the 21 days before, or is it 21 days after? It's mestaber, it's the 21 days before, because Shmuel the doctor said, kulu shakiyani b'divcha v'adatzar t'maglu, that all medication is best, it has the most healing qualities between Pesach and Shavuos. Also, you see, those 21 days are included in the midivcha v'adatzar, that's the last 3 weeks of Sefiras Omer, so it's talking, and it's mistaber then that Atzeres is Mehaygisa. It's the 21 days leading up to Shavuos, not the 21 days following Shavuos. Zoktach Sam Sofer, right here on this Gemara, in his Chedusha Masech the Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, that you see from here that the Zman between Pesach and Shavuos is a Zman that's Mesugal Rafur. So he says, Yesh Loimetz Yudua, that the Svarim HaKadoshim say, that Chodesh Iyar is a Chodesh that's Mesugal Rafur. Comes from this Gemara. Because Iyar always falls out between Pesach and Shavuos. It's Midivcha V'yad Atzarta. And this man between Divcha and Atzarta is this man of Chodesh Iyar. And that is the Makar. It's Shmuel's Memra. Kulu Shakyani Midivcha V'ad Atzarta Maivu. You know, the Gemara says in Masech Tes Yevamos, Daf Samech Beis Amud Beis, in the conversation of the most famous Gemara in Shas, Amush Neim Asa Elav Zugin Talmidim Hayolei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 peers of Talmidim. He had 24,000 Talmidim, and they lived migvas v'adan tifras v'kulam meisu b'perech echad, and they all died during the same tkufa mipnei shloim nagu kovid zelazer. And the reason is because they were in noy kovid zelazer. Foya oilam shomim atzabay Rabbi Akiva to the south, and he taught Torah to five Talmidim: Ramei, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar, and Shemuel. V'heim heim heimidu Torah oisa shah, and that the ones that were Naimit Torah. Says the Gemara Tani, we learned in a Braisa, Kula Meisu, they all died, Mi Pesach Va'ad Atzeres. They all died between Pesach and Atzeres. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, they all died a Misera, and what was the Misera that they died? They died Mises Askera. Says the Masha on this Gemara, so the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva died because of Askera. And they all died during the same time. What was that time? It was mipesach vadatzeres. Says the Marsha, why pesach vadatzeres? The reason is because Chazal wanted to show that even though pesach vadatzeres is a time that the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Mem Zayin Amid Beis, kulu shakyani midivcha vaadatzar to mailu. So this is a time for a fool. This is not a time for machlo. And afal pikein, this is what happened. So says the Marsha, that's the dogush of the Gemara, that they died mises askara and they didn't have a fool, even though it was mipesach vadatzeres, which is a zman that be'etzem and be'yusoydai is mesugal refuah. Rabbi Uvar Margolis in the Sefer Shari Zoyer, and this Gemara right here, Yevam Samach Beis on the days, he says yesh loymer the pshat is, because the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, kol mevazat tamud chacham ein refuah lemakasai. That if someone's mevazat tamud chacham ein refuah lemakasai, and what was the chet of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva shloim nagu kovet zelozeh? That means they were nichshol kefi the way we can understand on some level of being mevazat tamud chacham. Mevazat tamud chacham is ein refuah lemakasai. So even though it's true, kulu shakiyani midivcha vadatzarti mailu, and really all the refuahs should have worked, but they didn't have refuah lemakasam. Shloi nagu kovetz ebezen. He said that's the oimik in the marsha, and that's the oimik in what's going on over here. But al kaponim, it has a makar in a gemara. This inyan of iyer and iyer shem roifecha, it's not stama. Something that's brought down a chesidus shesvarim. This has a makar in a gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The way the Chasam Sofer brings it al atar, and the way the Marshal learns up that gemara in his Chedushi Agodas and Masechtas Yevamis, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. But the question is, what is this all about? This is stam like a hocus pocus that medication works, but maybe not. But if you take it mi pesach vadatzeres, all of a sudden Shmuel said kulu shakiani mi divcha vadatzar to mailu. So we once suggested, and maybe this is emes. That is, the Rechaim Hakadosh in Parshas Emor by the Parsha of Sfiras Oimer. He's medayik that when the Torah mentions the mitzvah of Sfiras Oimer, it says usfartem lochem mi machras haShabbos. Yom haviyachem es Oimer atnufa. Sheva, Shabbosois, Temimois, Tiena, etc., etc. But the Torah, when it introduces the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, it says, Usfartem Lochem. Why Lochem? Usfartem Lochem? Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, Oimroi Lochem, Litzad, Sheyitzav Hashem Lispar Sheva Shabbosois. The Torah is saying that the mitzvah to count is Lochem. The Omruza, because the Zohar HaKadosh says, Ki Litzad Shoyu B'tumas Mitzrayim, when the Yidin were Mitzrayim, they were Tomer. V'rotza Hashem lizdavik l'umazu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mizdavik with Klal Yisrael. So what did Eibush to do? Don ba kemishpat nida. So what he did was, he said that Tomei, I can't be mizdavik with a nation that's Tomei. So what do you do when you're Tomei? You become tar. So Eibush said, how do you become tar? There's a precedent, a nida, right? A nida to be muteris labayilo. She goes through a certain taira. So if Klal Yisrael is going to be able to be mizdavik with the Shechina, so they're going to have to go through a taira. So what Eibush did was, he was done ba kemishpat nida, shedina lispar shivin akim. What's the halacha of a nida? She has to count shivin akim. Vitziva sheyisparu shivin shavuos. So what Eibush said was, count 7 weeks, v'oz yiu mukhsharim lachnis an kalo l'chopo. And if you're going to do that, then you're going to be mukhshar lahachnis an kalo l'chopo. Says the Aruch Hayim, so you can ask me a question, that if the reason we the Yidden were told to count 7 weeks was kemishpat hanida, so that they'll be tar, so they'll be able to enter the chuppah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why is it 7 weeks? It should be 7 days. So the Rechaim says, v'gam kishom shivas yomim, v'kan shivas shavuos. That's for one or two reasons. Number one, v'tzad haflogas ha-tumah, the amount of tumah, memtesh aritumah, required 7 weeks, not just 7 days. And not just that, v'gam heyoysa b'chlolos Yisrael. It was an entire nation. So shir tumim deyim kichay mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his infinite wisdom felt that this was the right way to do it. But says the Aruch Hayim, that if you understand this, you realize why they didn't even have to wait 7 weeks before they were Mekabel the Torah. Why couldn't they be Mekabel the Torah right away? The Torah says because they were Tomei. What was the Tomei? It was like Azat Tumas Nida. They were Tomei from everything that was going on in Mitzrayim. So they had a count. By counting Shivan Akiyam, and in this case, 7 weeks, that's when they were able to get the Torah. He comes back to it later, and he says that Yesh Loimar, this is the reason that the Torah even uses the word Usfartam Lochem. Why Usfartam? It's a Pashat, it means to count. So he says that the Chachmei Emes know that the word Usfartam also has a Shaychis to the word Sampirinoin. So Sampirinoin is a certain precious metal. The Luchos were made of Sampirinoin, and it was very, very Chashav. So says the Aruch Hayim, Ki nishmais am b'nei Yisrael him b'pchinas haluchos. The neshama of the yid is like the luchos. What happens? U'be'emtzos tachluyei ha-nefesh. But because of the machlo of the nefesh, the tumas ha-tiyuv, and because of all the disgusting averis that we do, yislachachu v'yachshich oirem. What happens is the oir, the light, becomes diminished. The Amruzal, ki aluche samperinen hoyul. The zeh amar usfartem lachem pirish. Beemtzos minyan zeh that when you're going to count atem meirin kesamperinoy nesatzmechem, you're going to shine again like samperinoy. The reason the Yidden were told to count spheres oimer, and the reason we count spheres oimer adayim azeh, is based on the fact that when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were in the memtei shari tuma, and they needed to be mekabel the Torah. But you can't be mekabel the Torah if you're tummy. Just like a nida can't enter the chuppah if she's tummy. So what does the need have to do Shivan Akim? Klal Yisrael needed Shivan Akim. What was the Shivan Akim of Klal Yisrael? The Shivan Akim was Usfartim Lochem Mimachas HaShavas. But what's the objective? The objective is to remove the Tumah, remove the Tumah, remove the Tumah, until you're going to be Usfartim. You're going to be the Sanperinoi. You're going to shine again. You're not going to have the Tachluyei HaNefesh. You're not going to have the Tumah Satiyov. All the Lichluch, all the Choshech is going to be gone. And you're going to shine like a bright light. We're going to shine like Luchos. This man of Bein Pesach Vadatzeres is a zman that was and is, like the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, a zman that's mesugal for a person to remove all his tachluyei nefesh. It's a zman for tairus haneshama. You know, we know the Mishnah says, Mishpat Rishon B'Gehenem is Yud Beis Chodesh. It's a Mishnah Masechtas Idias. There's one Tana that's Cholik, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri says, no. Mishpat Rishon B'Gehenem is 7 weeks. It's mi Pesach v'adatzeres. The Lutzger Rav in his name Luteira says, it's in Parshas Emor. Why those 7 weeks? Because the Archaim HaKadosh said, those 7 weeks is this man that's mesugal l'tairis ha-nefesh. What's Gehenim? Gehenim is not just retribution. Gehenim is tairis ha-nefesh. It's purifying the soul so that it can cleave with the Shechina again. That's exactly what the Yemei Sphere are. It's removing the lichluch. It's removing the tachluyei ha-nefesh and the tumas atiyuv. That's what this man is. Is Yesh The yisoid of why it is that this man is this man that's mesugal l'refuah. It's not that the medications, it's the mezagavir, it's the atmosphere. I don't know if that's the Indian. It could be this is a zman that's mesugal l'refuas ha-nefesh. And all refuas ha-guf we know comes from refuas ha-nefesh. It's a mefurish gemara, by the way. It's a gemara in brachas tafei amad aleph. Roya adam she yisurim bon olav yifashfesh b'maiso. That's what a person is supposed to do. So there's an Indian of kemuvin that if a person has yisuri ha-guf, it means it's coming from a place of yisuri ha-nefesh. This is this man that's mesugal l'tikun ha-nefesh. If it's a zman that's mesugal l'tikun ha-nefesh, then by definition, this is a zman that has to be mesugal l'tikun ha-guf. But here's the punchline. Ein beis medrash b'loy chiddush. And that is, I found a davar nifl last night in the Hilchos Chasam Sofer. This is in Chiddush Chasam Sofer. It's in Masechet Shabbos. Daf pei vav amid beis. It's in the middle of a lumdish piece. But the Gemara over there, but the Chasam Sofer says as follows. That we know the Gemara says, b'shashik dimu Yisrael, Nasa l'nishma. When Klal Yisrael said Nasa first and Nishma second, Bo Shishim Riba Malachi Asharis. 600,000 Malachi Asharis came, the Kashul and Beis Ksarim. And they went over to each one of the Yidden and they gave them 2 crowns. Says the Chasam Sofer, Viro Isim Mefarish Echad Mirishonim Shekasav. He says, I saw by one of the Rishonim. Which one? Chasam Sofer doesn't say. But he says, I saw from one of the Rishonim. That what were these 2 crowns? These 2 crowns represented freedom. Who wears a crown? A king wears a crown, right? Everyone else was a choysim shalavdus. But the king wears the crown. And these 2 crowns represented freedom. Freedom from what? One was freedom from the Malach HaMavis, and the other one was freedom from the Umay Sa'ivim. And it's based on a Gemara Masechtas Erevin, where the Gemara says that Umole Nishtabru Luchos Harishonos, so Ein Kol Uma Veloshin Shailetes Bem, and not just that, we would have lived forever. But what happened? Egel Shviras Haluchos, and then everything unraveled. But what was the 2 crowns? It's Cheres, and the Chasam Sofer says, I saw from one of the Rishonim that it was Cheres from the Malach HaMavis, and it was Cheres from the Umay Sa'olam. Says the Chasam Sofer, V'Oimrani, The Svarim say that Kla Yisrael b'shas matan Torah they were nisrapim from all machlos. Rashi already hints to this. The pasuk says v'chala amrayim as akoylos. Even the sumim were able to see the koylos because all the cholim had a refuah at the time of matan Torah. Says the Chassam Sofer, when did this happen? Nearly, it happened when Kla Yisrael said nasa v'nishma. The Yidden said nasa v'nishma, and when they said nasa v'nishma, they became cheres from the Malach HaMaves, and they became freed from the Umay Sa'ilam. So Zok, the Chassam Sofer, was after the refuah. He said, because we know the Gemara says throughout Shas, as relates to Misa, Malikotla Kula, Malikotla Palga, Ayim Bava Kamadav Samachayim Ad Aleph. And if they became free from the Malach HaMaves, from the Kotla Kula, that means they became free from all Chayle, because they became free from the Kotla Palga as well. And the Chassam Sofer says, it's posh to me, that's when it happened. When they said Nasa V'Nishma, and the Malachi Asharis came, and they put these two crowns on them. If there's no Malach HaMaves, if there's no Kotla Kula, that means there's no Chayli, because that means there's no Kotla Palga either. Because Hoba HaTalya, and it's at that minute that it happened. So when did they say Nasa V'Nishma? The Chassam Sofer says, V'hine Zeh Hoya B'Chamishi B'Sivan. It happened B'Chamishi B'Sivan. That's when it happened. So he says, you want to know when it was Nisrapa Kala Chayli, it was Erev Shavuos. It was the last day between Pesach and Atzeres. It was the last day. What happened? What's the oimik? The oimik is so posh. And by the way, the oimik is just as posh as if it happened on Shavuos itself. But the oimik is hafla. The oimik is that this is a zman for refuas hanefesh. And it was usvartam lechem. Yidden left Mitzrayim. They were in the Memtesh Shari Tumo. And they had to remove all the tachluyei hanefesh, all the chayli of the nefesh. And they had to remove all the tiyav and all the lichluch. And they counted lochem. And as they counted, they removed another layer of Tumo. And another layer of Tumah, and another layer of Tumah. And as they removed the layer of Tumah, they exposed another level of Tayr. You know, we always speak this out, that I once heard a kasha, that we count 49 days between Pesach and Shavuos. Why 49 days? Because the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were in the Memtesh Shari Tumah, and they had to come to a place of Kedusha. So, in 49 days, they went from the Memtesh Shari Tumah to the Memtesh Shari Kedusha, and now they were able to mekabel the Tayr. So I once heard a kasha from a Chacham Gadol, he asked, I don't understand, how do you go 49 days from Memtesh Shari Tumah to Memtesh Shari Kedusha? That should mean 98 days. You need 49 days to get out of Toma. Now I'm at even. Now I need another 49 days. The Teretz is this Archaim HaKadosh. The Yid Be'etzim is in the Memtesh Shari Kedusha. Every Yid has a neshama. His neshama is Samperinoin. It shines. That's what the neshama is. Narvas, you have 49 levels of lichluch and tumah and tiyuv. And that's covering. It's being malachlich. It's making this nefesh disgusting. Every single day the Yid counted, he removed another layer and another layer and another layer. And as you remove another layer of tumah, what happens? It exposes the kedusha. So that not at the end of 98 days, at the end of 49 days, the Yid was shining like Samperinoin. They're already shining. But what happened when they show him. What happened was at the very, very end, whether it was the last day before Shavuos or whether it was Shavuos, right, is that Teres Mehaigisa, but at the end of the day, they had Refuas HaNefesh, and mit Refuas HaNefesh, kut Refuas HaGof, and that's why it was Nisrapa Kol HaCholim. The ultimate Refuah, the one time in the history of Klal Yisrael where all the Cholim had Refuah was when? It was me Pesach Ad Atzeres. It's during this proverbial zman of Chodesh Iyar, during the zman of Ani Hashem Reifech. And what triggered it? Kla Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma. And B'shah She'omri Yisrael Nasa V'Nishma, said the Chassam Sofer. What happened? They became cheres from the Malach HaMaves. Malikot L'Kula, Malikot L'Palga. That's when they had the refuah. We should have to be zoicha to say Nasa V'Nishma. We should be zoicha that it should be Nisrapu Kol HaCholim. We should be zoicha to refuas HaNefesh, refuas HaGuf. And we should be zoicha to the Bias Goyal Tzedek, the Meir B'Yameinu, Amen V'Amen.